Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hoo boy, that is the noise that keeps coming out of my mouth ever since about 3 o'clock, 3:25 rather, yesterday. That was the noise just, every once in a while, I just...
Oh, you put a clock on it.
Yep, about 3:25, because I remember I was walking back to the apartment from these here studios after watching the game, and I looked at my phone, I saw that time, I was like, hoo boy.
Yeah.
And that's what's been coming out every time. But what's the best case scenario now looking forward for the Texans after they started the season 0-3, 713-572-4610. We just heard from D'Amico Ryans. And that's ultimately what's going to be. I know it's a reaction Monday. We're still kind of reacting to general things, but it's hard to not immediately think, well, 0-3, what does this mean? I've seen people on the YouTube page, I think it was Cam for sure, saying that, hey, man, go ahead and bench Will Anderson Jr., bench CJ, bench Nico, and just go ahead and run this thing out. And I'm like, we got 14 whole-ass games still to go in this season. And I'm not trying to do that to bang on Cam, but what I'm trying to say is, like, I don't think Cam's alone in that feeling of, like, existential dread for this team. And so immediately, and you know I like asking what's realistic in various different cases, what's a realistic expectation for what this team can do moving forward, especially now they're three games down in the division because the Colts have started off so well.
Yeah, I think the best-case scenario for the Texans moving forward truly is as simple as not just, you know, somehow in this close game figuring out a way to actually beat the Titans. I think the best-case scenario is to actually get some validation on what you've been saying about chunk plays, you know, about running the ball, certainly with C.J. Stroud making – an impressive performance, not just a win that you get by the skin of your teeth, and we're still probably talking about the same damn things. You know what I mean? If you still have mistakes, you still have – if you duplicate what you've done the last 2 weeks, three in some cases, and get the win, I don't know how much better I'm going to feel.
Oh, I love this. I think
it's going to start with an actual really good, crisp, sharp, convincing performance.
So for someone who constantly talks about, like, kind of process, mm-hmm. I remember early on in the season, I was like, yeah, they're getting wins, but they don't look like they're doing things that pretend to more winning in the future. And lo and behold, like, those were the things. Y'all kept hitting me with that, oh, style points don't matter. I need a style points win next week, baby.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I need, and of course, it's not really about the style, but it's, Can you look like responsible adults? Can you look like a serious operation? Can you get that together? Because sooner rather than later, you need to do that. You mentioned this. Week 5, you're on the road against the Ravens. You might as well go ahead and put that one down as the L.
Yeah.
You get a bye week, and you're on the road versus the Seahawks, who, mind you, pretty damn good offense scoring-wise early. And that Mike McDaniel defense, what's my man's name? Because it's different. It's McDonald. There we go. Mike McDonald. I was like, it's not McDaniel because he's about to lose his job if he's not careful. Mike McDonald there in Seattle, he brings a mighty defense, and that's what they have. That those things together don't really bode well if you're looking like you are right now.
Yeah.
Right? The Niners, it's a good team starting to deal with some of those injuries, and you'll have them at home. I don't know. But then you get the Broncos and the Jags and the Titans, and then you get the Bills again. And look, if you get yourself together you can maybe start really gearing up some wins on the backside of this, mm-hmm. but you'd really be chasing your tail to possibly get maybe like a wild card type berth, because only two out of the six teams that have gone from 0-3 to making the playoffs have done so by winning their division. And one of those was the 18 Texans by going 11-5 and winning, what, like eight games in a row.
Yeah, I'm not nine games.
Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that I'm seeing nine games in a row. So you're probably going to be like a wild card, which wild card might be more tough right now in the AFC. I don't know. But you're probably going to need a wild card type berth unless the Colts decide to come back to earth, which is possible at some point.
No, look, we can talk all we want and play the schedule game. And I have it right in front of me where, all right, maybe you're going to lose against the Ravens. But if you can split Seattle and San Francisco and then – you know, somehow
to get you to two.
Yeah. And then somehow get to Denver. And then you have Jacksonville at home, revenge. Then at Tennessee, we can play that game. Well, I think I see five wins. I think I see four wins. Play that all we want. None of that will matter if you even just eke out a win against the Titans, because I think there will still be doubt, not just here and not just among fans. I think there will still be doubt in that building. So you have to come out, and all this we're close stuff to me doesn't matter.
All right, so let's say that the Texans look, with minor improvements, look largely like the teams that we've seen. Just looking at the schedule, because you've got mm-hmm. it in front of you, how many wins can you mark down right now?
With this team?
Yes.
I would mark down Tennessee.
Yeah, I think so.
I think.
I agree.
Jacksonville at home.
I agree.
At Tennessee.
I actually agree with that.
I would say Arizona and Vegas might be your first back-to-back. But Arizona's pretty good.
Back to back, what?
Like Arizona, I'm still not entirely sure.
I can say back to back, what?
I will allow you that. That's five of them that you found there. You're done?
That's it?
You believe in the Colts so heavily that you can't at least split those?
With this team, I'm done. With what we've seen so far, I'm done. Because you finished the year at LA Chargers, and versus the Colts at home. Might be out of it, you know, to even, and the Colts might have a lot more to play for. Look. I understand we are way cart ahead of the horse here. You know, they could flip that switch, but that's kind of my point. You better flip that damn switch.
Right.
You know?
I was thinking about it because D'Amico was talking about, you know, the things mm-hmm. that you need to do to be better. And typically for football teams, they view it in quarters. So mm-hmm. four game stretches, they really do a self-scout. That is going to be a huge self-scout because mm-hmm. the difference between week four, obviously going to week five, I don't know, you fix it. But then also getting that bye week, I need to see, I think you have the opportunity to see, but I need to see them come out as a much more, much better team, much mm-hmm. better situated, and obviously better operation at the very least by that juncture at week six when you're getting the Seahawks. But probably well before that, you need to start moving towards that if you want to have any opportunity in making the playoffs.
And the other thing that I look at, the way I look at it is right now, this team, again, not what we think, we hope, fingers crossed, eyes crossed, toes crossed, they might be. What this team, from what we've seen, especially on the offensive side of the ball, how many of these games, now you play the game, how many of these remaining games are they going to be favored in?
Oh, favored is rough.
Titans, 7-point favorite.
Titans, absolutely.
How, I have no idea.
Well, the Titans have been bad.
But they've been worse. But
and you're at home, which remember, you get that gets
touchdown?
You probably about three points.
How many times have they scored a touchdown? They're a touchdown favorite. But I get it. You know, Titans, your favorite.
I'm sorry, you're right. But the way that you said that really hit me in the stomach.
A touchdown?
Yeah.
Winning by a touchdown?
They're favored by touchdowns.
That's what he just said.
How many touchdowns have they scored?
We're just trying to win a game.
Yes, we're just trying to score a touchdown. Baltimore, no. Seattle, no. San Francisco at home? I don't think so. No. Denver, no. Jacksonville Jaguars, probably your favorite in that game. At Titans, probably. Bills, no. Colts, no. Chiefs, no. Cardinals, no. Vegas Raiders, maybe. Maybe. Chargers, no. Colts, no. At home. You're only going to be favored like three games with this team that you're seeing.
Yeah, so it needs to be a lot better. This was D'Amico Ryans. I thought this was a very interesting question that was asked of the head coach just a little while ago in the press conference. Was asked, since we're seeing a lot of similar mm-hmm. problems, does the experience that you had in the previous 2 years, it was basically the question, like, does this it help you or impact the way that you go about this year?
For me right now with our team, like, when you go through each team, like, no matter what year it is, like, each team has its own, it's faced with its own adversity and different issues that arise. So for me as the head coach, it's a matter of, hey, different set of problems, different set of challenges, and I'm up for it. Like, that's why I'm here. I don't compare year to year for me. I say this is a different year, 2023, completely different team. 2024, completely different team. we're here. We have different issues here in 2025, but we attack it the right way. We attack it with the right attitude, and we're going to get the thing rolling in the right direction.
You know what's funny about that?
Please.
Like when a player, you know, really improves from one year to the next, a lot of times you talk about that development and what he learned as a rookie or in the previous season. As a coach, you're not doing that, is what he just said. Every year is different. I don't know I get it. It's a smart thing to say. Let's just treat this as its own entity. But you also sort of want to build on what you established last year, not offensively because it's a new offense, but certainly with the personnel and certainly defensively. And I don't think they're building on that.
Yeah, it's funny because the answer is kind of an exercise in avoiding hubris, which is mm-hmm. funny when you consider this team and the way that they handled some things in the offseason, particularly the offensive line. But I like the general approach coming to a season and saying, this year is different, right. And that does not mean that the challenges are going to be the same. But now that a lot of the challenges are similar ones, I do think that this is the wrong approach.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is, with anything, how do we learn? Based off of the experiences that we have. In fact, one of the things that I believe strongly in football is the power of institutional knowledge. It's one of the reasons why, and maybe this is the wrong week to do this, you can look at the Kansas City Chiefs and they're able to withstand a lot of different circumstances mm-hmm. because they can dip back into their well of, we've done this as a group, as a collective together yeah. for many years. And so if I run up against a play or I run up against a situation, I can draw back on my experience having seen this before, what did and did not work.
Yes.
If I know something that worked, I could pull that out of the bag and use it again. And if I know something that didn't work, I can immediately erase that from my possibilities of what I'm going to throw at the situation this time. And I think that that is just generally how human beings and how, you know, our knowledge works. And I don't really like that being dismissed in mm-hmm. this case. Now, of course, how much is that actually how DeMeco operates? I don't know, because if we are really getting to a place where his answers in these pressers are fairly canned, fairly obscure, and I understand why you would do that in these circumstances, not really hitting them over the head for that.
Mm-hmm.
But if this is indeed the approach, at least in particular to, let's say, jumping off sides or tackling or, you know, communication issues on the back end,
yeah.
whatever the issues are that we've seen before, right? I don't think that that's going to help you if you're like, well, we're just going to view this isolated, because then you are opening yourself up to making the same mistakes and you don't have time. Like, you didn't have time to start the season already. Mm-hmm. The margins were thin. Your offensive line, the talent wasn't as good. You knew your defense was going to have to carry a lot in order for your offense to come along. But now that you're 0-3, you have no more time. You better be finding all the shortcuts you can, because the answers need to happen quickly, as we've established.
Yeah, and that's sort of my point. I'm with you. I get it. And hey, let's just not rest on our laurels. But you do have to dig back into the previous season, the previous two seasons, and find what worked and use that and try to build on it. And so part of it also is this defense has not been better, has not gotten better. And that's something that you would expect, whether it's Kalen Bullock or just anybody on the interior defensive front, the cornerbacks, you know, all that. You would expect that you do have that, you know, that information and the things you've done in the previous year to build on, and that's why it's a little bit strange that he's saying that.
Yeah. Look, there's so much that this team needs to get right on. One of those, in fact, being offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't mentioned it to this point, but what did you make of Arianti Urseri? Amongst the many things that over a longer stretch of time we've seen a little regression. It is understandable to look at a rookie and expect hiccups. I don't know that I expected a game like that from Arianti at left tackle, considering what we saw through camp and honestly early on through the season.
Arianti Urseri to me is a symptom. He's not the problem. He's not the illness. He's not the ailment. He's a symptom of how bad this offensive line is. Let's think about this. He is a rookie tackle that you put at left tackle in the NFL right out of the chute. That's unfair to him. Now, maybe, you know, certainly there have been players that have stepped in and been absolute monsters from day one. He's not that. So I think he's a symptom of all the other issues you have had at right tackle, drafting players, Blake Fisher. Why is he on this team other than Nick Caserio's own ego and pride to not be wrong on him so soon? I mean, I just feel that in my bones. But I think, you know, Urseri needed to be, you know, he needed some help, especially on the last play, which was a game breaker.
Yeah, the interception.
An absolute game breaker. He's a problem in terms of X's and O's and getting beat and giving up pressures. But he shouldn't be in that position. He's a symptom of how bad the entire offensive line and the entire makeup of the offensive line is.
Yeah, and one of the things D'Amico talked about there was, you know, they'll go and obviously they look at the tape every game and they'll determine on, you know, whether they need to utilize their assets in various different places. It did feel like they were slow to maybe add a chip. I was sitting, like I mentioned, up here watching with Sean and Clint, and Clint mentioned a number of times, oh, well, I bet Dalton Schultz is going to get off this line without giving a chip, and it's not a Dalton Schultz thing. It's a why is nobody coaching-wise saying, well, the way that number 41 has been getting after Ariante Ursary, we might need to get somebody to at least get a chip in there, and then you end up with this play on a third and one, mind you. I think it's something that I obscured for you a little bit, and I wonder if anybody else did. On a third and one, yes, I think I get the idea to want to take a shot because it's third and one, you're trying to get something, and you know it's a four down territory, so if it's fourth and one, you can go again. But the Christian Kirk make it, you know, deep post, and I mean, I think it's like a 20-yard stem. You're sitting there, you're waiting, and knowing Ariante Ursary getting beat by Josh Allen on the blind side of the quarterback, I just didn't like how long that took. And honestly, I think some of us with CJ was feel it. I know that you want to hold out for that play. I'm like, do you need to just check that down to Woody Marks, who is past the sticks and live to continue to fight? Or do you just trust Ariante on the left side against Josh Hines Allen, who had been whooping his ass all game?
All day. And so I think we're both saying with different examples, you know, the same thing. And that is, this is systematic, and it is player acquisition. The system of the offense and the acquisition of players is reflected in the fact that Ursary has to be that guy, and he's not that guy yet.
Man, this is... I hate where we are. I think we all
do. This is a deep look. Let's be very clear here, people. This is a deep-seated issue that the Texans have on offense,
and they got to try and find quick answers to deep-seated issues. Yeah. Like what are the quick patchworks that you could do while you're trying to repair the deeper issues? And is that even possible? Is that even plausible? Is a question that now the Texans have. And they proved themselves incapable of fixing those answers over the entirety of the offseason. Now you have to try and fix it over a week or two to try and get your season on track. Otherwise, you're in a really, really bad place.
Yeah.
Cool. Now that I say it out loud, that sounds even better. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. So coming up next, why don't we just do some lunchtime confessions?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, y'all are going to make me do something that I just hate that I have to do. Hate it.
We going to make you do it?
Ain't nobody making you do nothing.
No, y'all. The generic y'all.
Oh, yeah, the royal y'all.
The royal y'all.
Got you,
I'm going to sit here and defend Bill Belichick and Jordan Hudson.
ISO!
I'm going to sit here and defend Bill Belichick and Jordan Hudson.
You got it, big dog.
I hate myself for this.
You really don't have to.
I hate me.
Nobody's making you do this.
I hate me.
You're doing this up your own accord.
I am. You saw the big to-do. Jordan Hudson was on the sideline in pregame and talking to Bill Belichick and snuggling and all that stuff.
That's right.
This happens every single week in football, in college football, in the NFL. Why are people...
Were people wise on the
why
side?
Why is she on the side? Hell, I even saw, who was it? John Gruden. I've never seen that before in my life. Look on your own damn sideline during pregame. There are always wives and girlfriends, especially on road teams.
Yeah.
In fact, when we went to the Jets game, was
two years ago,
year before last.
Yeah.
Who was on the sideline when the Texans were out there warming up, starting their warmups? Wives and girlfriends and families.
Yeah.
This is, like, I get it. You know that we don't like Bill Belichick. We don't like, you know, Jordan Hudson. We don't like the whole, or not like is not. We make fun of it. You know, we're snide about it.
Sure.
This is much ado about nothing. These people, these wives and girlfriends and families are always on the sideline, especially for the road team.
And was this before the game started?
Yes. And I'm like, why are people
now? If it was during the game,
losing their minds.
Now, if this was during the game, I would have been like, wait,
of course,
yeah,
of course.
But this is like one of the little pregame things that they always do.
Yes, they're kind of meandering, and they weren't even like in full warm up.
It's like the sideline experience, guys.
You know how there's like an early warm up where guys are just kind of, you know, meandering, and you know, a lot of special teams snaps and kicks and punts, and guys stretching, and they don't even have their uniform on. It's just like t-shirts and all. This was when she was on the field. And people are losing their minds over this.
Well, one, you did this by doing the thing where it's like, she's clearly still in charge of everything. She's running everything. It's
I
the shadow
did not
government
do that.
Of Jordan. Yeah, you did.
I did?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
When did I do that?
A few times, in fact. 713-572-4610. Back me up. Mm-hmm. But also, you know what they're doing? They're lashing out. You want to know why? The UNC, the North Carolina Tar Heels, have won 2 games out of 4, both of those against teams who barely exist in the FBS. One of them doesn't exist in the FBS. And when they faced off against real FBS competition, they lost 48-14 to start the season against TCU. And then UCF, BTA, 34-9.
I get it.
This past week. They're like, hey, dog, you don't need to be doing nothing.
I get it.
Don't talk to nobody.
Stay in the press box.
Yourself.
Hell, stay at the tailgate.
You better look at a playbook.
But this to me, I was like, why are
you better be watching film up to and during the game?
The thing is, they're not good.
Yeah.
And so now
every little thing.
Every tiny little thing.
Yes. And I was just like, why are people? And it's all over. And John Gruden said it. I guarantee you when they were on road trips, the families were on the field.
John Gruden getting a little look at me, Louie, ain't he?
He is, yeah. Man. I've never seen that in my life. Yes, you have.
Brother, you was a head coach, man. Yes, you was a legendary head coach at one point.
Yeah, I hate that I have to defend her and him.
Again, you choose to. Like, it's fine if you choose to, but you recognize
just
you
pile on them both, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to be... No, I'm not going to do the saucy one yet.
No saucy yet.
Not yet, but I was deeply annoyed. Mm-hmm. Let me be honest. I've been deeply annoyed that this thing has been so ignored,
mm-hmm.
and I recognize it, and seemingly coaches and broadcasters don't, which is that when the ball lands in the landing zone mm-hmm. and it goes out the back of the end zone, you're not getting to the 35, big fella.
Yeah, I know.
You're going to the 20. And this has happened at least twice with the Texans this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how are these details falling through?
Yeah.
Like, Tremont Smith let one of those balls bounce and go out the back. I think it might have been, the one that really made me mad was Damian Pierce. Like, you've been returning kicks, dog. What's mm-hmm. happening? Why are you letting that ball bounce through the end zone or taking a knee in the end zone once it bounced in the landing zone? You better run.
Yeah.
Because this is going to the 20. Like, and then Spiro Dedes did this. Kevin Harlan has done it on the broadcast. I'm like, how does nobody know this? There's no way I'm the most knowledgeable.
Maybe you're wrong.
On how this works. One thing I'll tell you. There's no way I'm the, and if I am, fire all y'all. All y'all get fired in here. How?
I don't know. Because I've thought the same thing. Like, it's pretty straightforward. We got the memo. Like, literally, I got a memo with all the rules, the changes, and what to expect and all that stuff.
So, like, of all the things that the Texans have done as well that have made us mm-hmm. deeply, deeply frustrated, like, and with an offense like yours, you don't think those extra 15 yards or, like, whatever those extra yards are going to be useful on starting position? Mm-hmm. You're just like, yeah, the 20's fine.
Yeah.
Well, you better run that football and you better know what's happening. It feels like they did not know what's happening, mm-hmm. which I hate to bring it to this man because he's delightful and he seems to be at least the coach that has one of the things going for him. Mm-hmm. But Frank Ross, man, why don't your boys know this?
Yeah, because they he's been so good all along, but they have to know this. Yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So I actually have a baseball confession, just a random ass confession when it comes to baseball. So Lopez's favorite team, the Dodgers, and his favorite player, Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah. Those both check out.
Yeah. So I think I saw something where they was talking about using him in the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of made me think, I got to confess, I would love to see him be a closer.
Ohtani?
Yeah, I would love to see not only just be in the bullpen, throw an inning or two, but
dude, that would be pretty bad. I would
just love to see somebody. Let's paint the picture. Mm-hmm. Let's say he hit the go ahead home run to get him the lead, and then he try his ass out on that mound to close the game.
That
nobody never did that before,
ever.
Right?
The crazy part about that is in order for him to like continue to hit and be in the pen, he would have to like play in the field as opposed to DH.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, how would that work? You just out in outfield?
I thought you could replace somebody else. You could replace the DH. Yeah, I think you could pitch. Yeah, I think you could. Because the Astros did that this year with somebody. I think if you pinch hit for the DH, Then you can get another. Somebody help me out here if you know the rules, but I think that's the case. Yeah.
Either way, I know that there's some idea of playing the outfield. I'm just like, I want to make sure. How does he go and warm up, but then also get on the mound, especially if he's having to play in the field.
Yeah.
Like where do
I
we have
like
time
to see
for?
I want to see it, man. At this point, I'm just playing MLB the Show. I just want to see it. I just want to see him hit a go ahead home run, and then just go in there to close the game out.
Yeah. And yet, okay, no, I'm not going to say that.
Wow. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
And Lance McCullers won't go into the bullpen.
All right.
So there's that.
Okay.
All right. So I know this is petty, and I can be that occasionally. Still, I get that this is style or just supporting, you know, the look or whatever. Still bothered me that C.J. Stroud wore a Yankees hat.
I knew you were doing
that. Still bothered me. I'm sorry. It's just, the Yankees are not only one of the biggest rivals of the Astros, but still in the hunt. It's a team that you could face in the first round.
Actually, you were likely to face them if you make the playoffs.
Yes. Yeah. So we go from Mariners to Yankees. Mariners swept your ass. Yankees are the team that you could face in the first round if you're lucky. I know it's petty. Yeah. It still bugs
me. It actually didn't bother me. To me, this was confirmation that this brother don't know anything about baseball.
Maybe.
Because you go from Mariners hat, you are a Dodgers fan. You support the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And you go in there rocking the Yankees hat.
Yeah.
It showed me he don't give a damn about baseball. He probably don't even know the Dodgers and the Yankees played each other a couple years ago.
Or do you want to go conspiracy theory and this is his little subtle... I see what you guys are saying about me.
Oh, you want is this the parachute? Like, get me out of here? Is that what you're saying?
No, just like, bleep you, basically.
Oh, like, oh, so y'all gonna be mad about hats? Yeah. Well, I got hats for you.
I got another hat for you.
I can't wait till he bring out the Cam Newton hat. Like, let's just go on a grand tour of hats. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, let's just do all sorts. What kind of different hat? The bucket hat? Mm-hmm. Bring one of them out.
If he rocks
a nice top hat here and there.
If he rock a Texas Rangers hat. Then we're like, bro, come on, man. That hat ain't that fly, man.
Yeah.
You could rock something else.
Outside of the Rangers, probably the two worst ones he could have worn, he's worn.
Seattle and Yankees.
I mean, yeah.
I can see that.
All right. Kind of ties in with that. I mean, look, I get it. A lot of people are, it's a reaction Monday, so we're definitely reacting. A lot of people are in that free fall where we're, you know, when you're falling, you're just grabbing at everything as you go down. I allowed myself to have a thought that if I had told myself I was having that thought like a week before, I'd have been like, you're insane.
Mm-hmm.
I allowed myself to think, what happens if they put Davis Mills in?
Oh, no. Wow, that's the best confession yet. Man. That's the saucy one.
Right? Like, did anybody else do that? I'm sure there's people out there that have been calling for it.
Let me show you text like, from my son.
But yeah, like, I for
Davis
a moment.
Davis Mills time.
And you know when it was? After that pretty awful interception that Jordan Lewis gets where he baits him on the high-low,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm just like, CJ, you got to be able to get a better ball out there to Christian Kirk. Christian Kirk. Like, mm-hmm. you just got to be able to get a better ball out there. And no, because even then, like, I saw that Jordan Lewis, you know, kind of mm-hmm. peeled off his man. Still, if you're throwing that ball well, it should be well beyond that. Like, and it shouldn't be floated. You need to drive that ball in. It felt like he didn't have the right decision on when to drive the ball and when to float the ball.
It's Davis Mills time.
And so my brain immediately went back to seeing him in training camp and, like, really connecting well with some of the receivers that CJ said he didn't have a lot of time throwing to. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what happens if it goes to Davis Mills? Now, I did stop that thought pretty quickly, but the idea that I could have that thought and let it linger for a second was very uncomfortable for me. I did not like it at all.
That says a lot.
I went and took a shower afterwards.
You felt dirty?
I did. I did feel dirty. I didn't like the way it felt at all.
Yeah.
All right. So there's some people that had the Mills thought. All right. So 281, I know you said you had the Mills thought. Were you already in that place, or did the thought just pop up and you were like, I can talk about this a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
713 said they've been calling for Mills Mania. I was not talking to you, friend. I'm just going to be honest. I was not there. But I still love you nonetheless. I appreciate all of you getting involved on the text line, 713-572-4610, and the Mo Cram Injury Lawyers live streams. Keep doing that. And that number, mind you, is going to be important because coming up in this hour, we are giving away a 4-pack of tickets to see the Cougars face off against Texas Tech, which is looking like it's going to be one of, if not the biggest matchups in the Big 12 this season, October 4th. So you want to keep
Davis
it locked
Mills
here.
On the
Sorry.
It's true. I'm being honest.
I can't go back to that, man. I'm sorry.
You did.
You said, right? I lived through that already.
Yeah, nah, I know what it is, man. We need to suck it up. They going to pay CJ, and he's here.
Again, mm-hmm. I thought it was a safe space. I thought I could be honest. All right.
Stroud's going to be rocking the Warriors jersey.
All right, coming up next, let's hope the CJ doesn't end up on this. Who are your winners and losers of the weekend? We'll do it on Sports Radio 610. All right, let's get into the winners and losers of the weekend here in Loop. Very clear on the front end of this that losers are Houston sports fans. Like 100%. That weekend was
a rough one.
Brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, like, legitimately, you asked me when I came in, when we were, you know, getting ready to start the show, or when we came in this morning, you were like, how was the weekend? I was like, eh. And I had to think about it, and I thought about it. I went and I had fun this weekend. Like, Houston Jazz Fest was in town. Like, I was listening to one of my favorite jazz albums performed live. And the thing that made it feel all terrible is that in the midst of it, at Miller Outdoor Theater, I'm looking at my phone and watching Jake Myers run through and trying to score.
We would do like 5 segments on that in any other context. Dude,
he was running around no bases with his arms up.
He's like, I did it, baby.
And then turn around.
We about to win this game, yo.
What you mean I'm out?
We've mentioned it twice, and otherwise we'd be like, what the hell? That would be everything. I rode the elevator up with Andy. You know, the legendary.
Oh, I can't imagine what Andy talked to you about.
I'm standing there. He comes in behind me. I said, so how was your weekend? And he looked down on the ground like his dog died. And he said, just bad. And I thought it was something besides just Houston sports. And he goes, you know. And I went, oh, okay, it is Astros. like somebody kicked his dog.
Well, I mean, if his dog's named Jason Alexander, like that one hurt as well because we were starting to put our trust in, all right, well, we know we can get stuff from Jason Alexander. And the Mariners said, are you sure?
Yeah. 7.
Sheesh.
7.
I did appreciate it because I was like, oh, I can just not pay attention to this anymore. Someone did ask, though. I still had the game on. I just didn't have it on audio. Mm-hmm. Someone asked if we were upset like they were, that Carlos Correa was still key-keying with the broadcasters doing the mic'd up segment. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's Sunday Night Baseball.
Well, you have to.
They make that. They already ask and get you signed up for that well before. I think
I think the broadcasters kind of knew it too.
Yeah.
And so I think they made it clear, like, hey, we get it, but, you know, appreciate you still hopping on with us.
How about the broadcasters hitting those El Tiempo margaritas?
Yeah, see, that's a winner. I mean, shout out to Orbit. Orbit was like, hey, sorry we didn't give you a good game. How about we get you slizzied up here,
well,
baby?
That's the thing.
And some food. But he brought some food up.
It's one thing.
That place look good.
Oh, yeah. But it's one thing. You get a margarita. They were probably thinking, oh, I'm margarita. No big deal. Take a couple of sips. You get one of those, light you up, man. It'll light you up.
Well, I mean, you could drink on the air. You just.
I'm just saying that they're really strong.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still remember the time that I think it was Show's birthday last year. Mm-hmm. Where he was like, man, I could really do with some margaritas. And I was like, you know what? I can handle that. Yeah. El Tiempo, yeah. Buddy, we was drinking up here, friends. We were having a good time. So, yeah, shout out to the ESPN Sunday night baseball broadcasters because they got a treat from Orbit and them. Unfortunately, Houston sports fans didn't get a treat. I saw a lot of people going like, oh, man, Rockets come through and save us. And there is, I mean, we're literally a month away from the start of their season where they will be starting on the road in Oklahoma City on ring night. The only thing that I thought of was, hey, if you're worried about not showing up with enough offense, Houston Rockets, you remember what the season looked like last year. I know KD's coming to town, but you might want to be a little, don't put too many of your hopes on offense early on just yet. I think that that is something that would be fair to think about right now. Mm-hmm. All right, how about this as another loser? The Atlanta Falcons, first and foremost, they got dog walked by the Carolina Panthers. 30 points by the Panthers?
Yeah. Is that Desmond Ridder playing for the Falcons?
Nah, still Michael Penix Jr. but outside of that, it's not just them losing. The particular thing why I view them as losers here, after having kicking tryouts, they signed Parker Romo, who made a couple of field goals last week. They then waived Younghoe Koo, who has been a longtime kicker for them. Parker Romo went 0-2 from kicking field goals this week. And you want to know why I think this is funny? I was like, man, I like Younghoe Koo. I wonder, like, but, you know, I guess maybe he just looked bad end of last year. Because he'd only missed two field goals in the first week of the season before they started getting out here and trying to find a new one. You want to know what Younghoe Koo kicks? Like, what his field goal percentage is as a career?
What's that?
It's like 83.6, which is good for 15th all time.
Yeah, no, he's high on fantasy football list. I'm sure a lot of owners were disappointed. Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise there.
They cut the 15th best field goal kicker by percentage all time in the NFL.
Yeah.
After 1 week of missing two kicks, signed somebody else, and he missed two kicks in the second week he was there. That is Atlanta sports to a T.
Yeah.
That is hilarious.
I was shocked they cut him like that, man.
I was too, to be honest, yeah.
They cut him with the quickness. So, yeah, they deserve to be losers on this weekend. From the 713, they said Texas Tech freshman backup quarterback in Hutto High School, great Will Hammond, is definitely a winner. Yeah, man, Ocho, you're right. He was out there cutting up for a Texas Tech team that put it on Utah in that game of Big 12 importance.
What about Dabo? Yeah, Dabo was a loser.
Dabo's definitely a loser, man. Mm-hmm. He was grandstanding about the, like, you know how Dabo likes doing. Well, it's like, well, if y'all get tired of winning, y'all, man. I guess y'all could fire me. I'll go coach somewhere else.
Update.
They lost. They got Fran Brown. Fran Brown, you will hear about Fran Brown tomorrow in college football on a Tuesday. I love Fran Brown. I know that we'd done the thing where he, you know, had his players running sprints after a win.
Yeah.
Fran Brown was talking crazy, and he backed all of that up against Dabo Swinney. I think he was like, if we played in hoops, I'd give him 35, 40 points. You want to know how many points Syracuse Orange put on the Clemson Tigers?
What was that?
35 points in football. So he was like, I give it to you in football and basketball, Dabo. So shout out to Fran Brown, who is a winner, is the side of this I'll take. How about another winner? If you are a Glizzy Goblin, you are a winner, especially if you live in the city of Chicago. So the Wiener Circle, is a hot dog stand in the Lincoln Park neighborhood of Chicago. Mm-hmm. They tweeted this over the weekend. If Caleb throws 4 touchdowns on Sunday, we will give away free hot dogs on Tuesday.
Uh-oh.
Do you happen to know what happened in Bears-Cowboys?
Yes, I do.
Caleb Williams threw four touchdowns, which includes, did you see one of the most disrespectful flea flickers that has ever had? At least it's one of the most disrespectful I've seen in my life. So they run the flea flicker. The toss back to Caleb Williams.
It was like
a lob. It went like
it was an alley-oop.
10 feet in the air.
Yeah, it was an alley-oop.
And still,
yeah,
the Cowboys couldn't get pressure. Caleb Williams rears back, throws it, and Roma Dunze is booty butt naked open. Still, I'm talking about the slowest developing flea flicker. You should have been able to see it, recognize it, and get back there. Nope.
They couldn't get pressure, huh?
Couldn't get pressure.
Wonder why.
Michael Parsons is not with them anymore.
That is a lot of hot dogs.
Yeah, it is.
Chicago will take you up on
that.
They will take you up on that offer.
By the way, Roma Dunze, 4 receiving touchdowns in 2025, which is tied for the most for a Bears player through the first 3 games of a season.
That's a lot of touchdowns. How many Texans have now?
What is that?
Three,
yeah. I think.
Yeah.
Four times in the red zone.
Yeah.
No scores when they get into the red zone.
Yeah, that.
Cool. Somebody said the Texans catfished me. All right, I think you're a loser there. Fair enough. Somebody said pump the brakes on Tech. They're only beating one quality team, which is Utah. They look real good.
It
but
counts.
They, one of the things I will say, I hear what you're saying there, but in college football in particular, sometimes what you do to show you're good is just massacre the teams that are there to be massacred, and they have done that. So I will give them that credit. But October 4th, that's when we get to see them against a good defense. What defense, you might ask? The University of Houston Cougars.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick before I do that, because I see you there, I do want to say this. One more loser is food poisoning. Did you see this? Rams linebacker Nick Hampton was ruled out of his game versus the Eagles because of an apparent cheesesteak mishap. So apparently he had gotten a Philly cheesesteak, got and then got ill from it and missed the whole football game behind that.
Jeez.
Did they say where? Like where the
cheesesteak? Oh, that's a good question.
That would be the
was
question.
It Pat's or Geno's?
Yeah, that's the question.
That is a question. Because I feel like you come in as an outside linebacker for the other team. Now I don't know if he's from Philly. So, but I imagine if you're from Philly, you don't go to Pasadena. They don't eat there.
Yeah.
But if you're a tourist, those are definitely the places that you're going to.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I didn't see specifically where. However, he did say he put a picture up of him laying in a hospital bed on his Instagram, saying, "Last time I eat one of those nasty bleep Philly cheesesteaks." So he said he'd rather eat dirt than eat that. So I have a feeling that he will not be going.
No
endorsements whatsoever.
I hope he don't play for Philly anytime soon.
Oh, that's right.
You got to stand on business. If you come to Philly, be like, hey, man, they put me in a hospital behind this. I ain't none of y'all junk no more.
This is why I'm calling it trash, because they put me in the hospital.
Like, you got a good reason for that, man. I can't even be mad at you. Like, if somebody's like, well, I don't eat a Chipotle no more because I went to the hospital, I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
You did it. Fair. Mm-hmm. I got you. You know what's also fair? Being call number six right now, 713-572-4610, you will see what I'm feeling like might be one of the best games in the Big 12 season, which is when the Texas Tech Red Raiders come to town to face off against the University of Houston Cougars. This four-pack of tickets is courtesy of the University of Houston, and you can win these right now by calling 713-572-4610 and being caller number six. We appreciate you rocking with us, and I love the University of Houston for actually giving us winning football for the time being right now in a great city, Houston. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's circle back around and talk more about this Houston Texas team, because one of the things that we haven't talked about is Derek Stingley and that injury. Like, you concerned? You worried? We'll talk about it next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.